A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs,
and welcome to the first of our H&J weekly podcast, a bumper compendium of the best of this week on the show.
That's right.
Well, we've covered some ground, as you can imagine. We tend to cover quite a lot of ground over 3 hours, never mind sort of 6 days.
Yes.
So some of the things you can expect to hear over the next 3 or 4 days of this podcast. No, of course not. It's not that long. Don't worry. It's bite size, but there's plenty of it.
Andy, most bite, that is.
Andy has found a very novel way of producing his own IPL-style Nehru jacket.
That'll be good, won't it?
Yeah. We've also got Andy wasting police time, so stay tuned for that. And you'll also discover why the former England rugby player Gareth Chilcott is a big fan of Swansea City.
That's very true, yeah.
Plus, what we hope is a very interesting chat with Terry Butcher and Gabriel Clark, talking about the late, great Sir Bobby Robson, a new film about the former England manager.
Nice reaction to that interview. People seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Robson's so loved, of course. And Andy Smart, who's always fun to play with, and he came in on Bank Holiday Monday.
He certainly did. So that's just some of the things you can expect in the first of our new weekly podcast. So, enjoy. It's Paul Hawksby, Annie Jacobs here on Talksport. Comedy Store player, ball runner, cheese chaser. He's done Farnborough fan. Andy Smart is with us in the studio. And Craig has told us, Annie was telling us, what were you offered in Winchester?
A Rolex watch.
Rolex watch. You want to buy a Rolex in Winchester services. Like Andy, I was accosted in the service station car park, says Craig. I was at some services on the M6 near Cov, and as I got out of my car, a white van pulled up, and the guy said, "You want to buy a 42-inch flat-screen TV?" He had a van full, apparently. I remember once up in the city, walking to work many years ago, around some pools, walking into the studios. Guy said, excuse me, he said, we're jewellers, we're both jewellers, and we've had to go into liquidation, but we still have some stock left that we want to sell. And they were selling off quite a flash car, like a fairly new Beamer. So looked, and they were all in suits, and it looked quite legit, but you can imagine, like, scraping the gold off the watches and the rings. But now, sometimes they have a story, sometimes they don't even bother having a story.
No.
I was offered 15 packets of ham and a box of dates in a pub toilet.
Oh, that's so hygienic. I always want to be offered food in the toilet.
Says William.
It's what you need after 15 packets of ham, a box of dates.
You're staring.
It's true. Keep you going. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if William said, "Well, I'll have the dates, I don't want the ham." And the bloke said, "Well, there goes a job lot, mate. You buy both and you don't get any of it. So I'm not splitting the sale." So keep them coming. Unlikely things someone's tried to sell you in very unlikely places. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Jonathan Beals has been in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Games master and match day reporter for Sky, Ipswich fan. At the M25 services, a bloke said he was on his way back from an exhibition and had some unsold leather jackets and watches.
A natural combination.
Yeah. What was this exhibition? It was that fantastic NEC exhibition of watches and jackets.
The Fonz exhibition.
Yeah. So I had a look. That's right. Yeah, Gerald Ratner as the Fonz. So I had a look in the boot of his car.
Yeah.
The leather jacket looked like it was made out of bin liners. And the watch was a fake ladies Cartier. Needless to say, he said, "I bought both." No, he said, "Needless to say,
I declined."
No transaction took place, says Jonathan Beals. Well, I'd like to think either way you wouldn't
have. I like these stories that they come up with.
Yeah, that's right. It's fantastic. I was once offered a smart TV in Farm Foods car park in Stirkley in Birmingham, says Matt the Goon. Pulled into my local doctor's car park, and that was Matt the Goon. Doctor's car park, and some guy walked up and asked me if I wanted to buy an HD TV. Well, he said, well, I don't know. I mean, I may not need one. I go to the doctor's first.
I'll let you know
I'll see what the blood test said. Callum in Loughborough says, I was on the services on the A1 and a man jumped out of his pickup truck while I was filling up and tried to sell me a generator and some pro kitchen knives.
What a great combo.
It's the randomness.
The combo.
The randomness of what these people have got. The thing is, the story doesn't work. I mean, if he says, look, I've got a generator to spare, do you interested in a generator?
Yeah, yeah, well, you might.
That's the, what would you do with a generator? You could have your indoor barbecue. Yeah,
or his outdoor burger store.
Outdoor burger store, yeah. Put some lights up.
I'll run it at night.
So keep these coming. These are very good listeners for a bank holiday Monday. Thank you ever so much for taking the time. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text 81089, tweet to TSH&J. Some of the unlikely things you've been offered in the unlikeliest of places.
Now, I know you're an expert, Andy, on lower league football following Farnborough, but I was fascinated to see that the final, the Southern Division final of the Bostic playoff, was between Corinthian Casuals and Wharton Casuals. I don't know what the attitude was like towards the game.
What time's kickoff? Well, I don't know. It's up to
whenever
you, really.
You turn up.
Yeah, about 20 past three, half three, I don't mind. Yeah.
Do the Corinthian Casuals still refuse to take a penalty? If they're awarded a penalty, I think they still do.
We've had some dealings with
the penalty
casual.
Shootout. They wouldn't take any of them.
Well, they
they took the. Yeah, no.
It was penalties, was it?
I think if they feel it's
Wharton
not deserved.
Wharton won 4-2 on penalties, so they must.
So they have to take penalties in that case.
In the end,
you've
got to get over that, haven't you, really? That's fantastic.
You've got to, really.
Yeah. I was once offered an industrial power drill whilst at a gig at the Barrowland, says Derek. I mean, you can't take that to the royal wedding either.
Oh, no, the royal wedding. Now, I just found a cutting that was left over from last week.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
It must be one of mine.
Well, recycle it, yeah.
This is the close family of Meghan Markle are furious after they've been left off the guest list, but her dog's vet has been invited.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I suppose you could understand the family being quite upset about that.
Yeah. Well, you
know, I love these. Not so many vet bills.
That's true. Two convicted.
Two Corvicks. You're having a bit of trouble with that. What on that and the Galapagos Island?
Yeah, I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Two convicted fraudsters have set up a company called Meghan and Harry Limited. This is amazing, really. And, you know. Sort
of... Meghar Limited. That's what you normally do. Take a bit of
and a website. A
couple
of
bricklayers.
But obviously hoping to cash in on the royal wedding. But there you go.
So you've been invited, Andy Smart?
No, you're not going?
No,
I won't be going. No, I'll actually be in China. So,
blimey.
It's going to be difficult.
You're not a royalist then, are you? Clearly, you're getting that far. You're doing some gigs over there,
aren't you? Yeah, we're doing Hong Kong, Shenzhen and Shanghai.
Have you been asked to do any Meghan and Harry improv? Andy's from the Comedy Store Players, and people shout stuff out from the audience.
Luckily,
they?
No.
We've not been.
Well, we do say we don't do impressions, so that's probably why. But I'm sure as the royal wedding approaches, we'll get a few Windsor Castles.
It's so random, your life, really, because you
it is,
tweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you said...
Well, you're going to get a proper job.
Yeah. You said what you were last night. It was quite amazing. It was a three or four different
things. Oh, yeah. I was a Hungarian lumberjack. Then I was... what else was that? Oh, then it was a husband taking his wife to Anne Summers' sex shop, and then I was...
well, I think I'm not quite sure it was that. I think it's a clothes shop, really. If Anne's listening.
Yeah.
Any of the West Ham board are listening to that.
And, and then I got to be Cary Grant for 4 minutes, which was an absolute joy.
I'm sure you don't do impressions.
Well, sometimes I do. I don't know, you know. It's not that often, but occasionally we do.
Yeah. He's from the Galapagos Island. By the sound of that.
No happening. Idea who that was.
And now Andy doesn't do impressions.
From his mouth. Andy. I don't know who that was.
Andy Jacobs.
You made a mistake. You see, what I do when I do an impersonation.
It's always the same one.
A, it's always the same one. And B, I'm very careful to say the name. So, for example, I go, John Gwynn. So you know it's John Gwynn because I'm saying his name.
Do you want to hear Andy Jacobs now? Claude Puel, just in time for him to probably get the sack at the end of the season.
I thought I'd better.
Andy's trying to master him.
Strike while the iron's hot.
I wasn't sure. This is Claude Puel.
I quite liked it. A bit Clouseau goes, I think it went a bit Alan Hansen, didn't it, in the end?
Well, we'll find out. Let's have a listen.
It was a tough game, of course, for us.
That's very good.
It was a tough game for us.
French Mr. Kipling.
We started this game without...
It is a bird.
Because a lot of young players played.
Here. LMA manager.
Yeah. I'm not sure about Claude Puel there, Andy.
Yes, he went a bit off.
Did he do any others?
Yeah, so did the usual.
We've got the usual, haven't we?
Paul Lambert. And it segues into Roy Hodgson.
Paul Lambert segues into Roy Hodgson?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the producers split them up.
Oh, I'm glad he's a bit long, yeah.
Okay, let's have a little bit of Paul Lambert. Here we are from the weekend.
I can't ask for more effort than what the
others really. It's basically the same voice. It just sounds like himself.
I lost the way in the second half. I can't ask any more from them.
They gave you absolutely everything today.
They gave me everything today, yeah.
Rubbish.
Let's have a bit of Roy Hodgson then.
You can do Roy Hodgson.
Oh, well, I don't actually, compared to Roy, I don't think I sound anything like him.
Oh, okay, really? After all these years. Okay, no. Let's see Roy Hodgson and Andy Jacobson.
Well, you know, why not?
Stand up to the pressure, but it's what we did in the second half and get a victory, although I feel very sorry, and get the three for Stoke City, but it's well asked to put them down. I thought that was a brilliant impression.
This Andy 1867 says a bloke from where was it? The Galapagos Islands tried to sell me an 186-year-old breeding tortoise yesterday. Beautifully done.
Very good.
Very good.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
So Andy, potential. It's interesting. The question has been asked of Antonio Conte, as Joe was just saying. Is this your last game in charge of Chelsea? And obviously, straight battered it, and we'll hear from
What's
him.
He supposed to say, though? It's a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question.
It is.
Because you might winkle out something else from him.
You're not going to winkle anything out. What's he supposed to say? Yes, it probably is my last game, and I couldn't care less what happens with the players.
There's sometimes often, can often be all managers, there's a subtext in what they say. So he could have gone on and said, well, that's up to the owner. I haven't spoken to him yet. So suddenly, that's a story. He hasn't spoken to him. Well, you know, there is sometimes. A direct question can build a bit of subtext. I don't see any problem with asking that question outright.
Pointless.
But anyway,
apart from that,
at the moment, of course, Sarri has been mentioned, the Napoli boss. They reckon he's had enough of his time at there, and he's ordered all his backroom team to improve their English. And there was a bit of a feeling he couldn't speak English, but
no, he does.
He lived in London for a while.
He was a banker.
He was a banker. That's right. Yeah, and before he turned to coaching. It's like Mark Warburton. It's all the same, isn't there? That switch between high-level banking and football management.
You know, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, he's never won anything, and, you know, Chelsea fans love to write people off before they've even started. But, you know, he's done a good job at Napoli. I think a different approach would be interesting, an approach where, you know, they used some of the young players that they've got and played in a slightly different style. Obviously, you want them to be successful, but... You know, we have had 4 years of kind of counter-attack and good defence. Yes, it's proved very successful, so I'm not complaining. But sometimes, you know, the football could be of a different type. Yeah.
It's interesting. Vincent Tan, the owner of Cardiff, has finally admitted that he made a mistake by trying to change the colour of the shirt.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, he actually says, I made a mistake by changing the colour. Yeah, I reverted it back to blue and rectified it. There will be no more tinkering with the colours. And you could understand, you know, you spend all this money on something and you maybe don't understand maybe the landscape and the traditions. Mm. And you come in, you think, well, this is good for me. I own this now. And they'll buy into it. All I really need to do is say, culturally, red's important for me. And so that's what we're going to do.
But all these football clubs have been there for over 100
exactly.
years. You
exactly.
are just the custodian. You
Indeed.
Buy that right to be the custodian. You can't just do that.
You certainly can't.
I think you
do
realise
that. But I think, yeah, and maybe that's a bit of a warning to others that may come in and buy football clubs and, you know, tinker with some stuff and improve some stuff, but don't change the fundamentals.
Because not the colours.
The fans won't
or the team name
no,
or
when,
the badge.
Not when they're called the Bluebirds. I mean, there was a bit of a clue there for old Vincent, wasn't there, really?
Not great, really.
There was a clue.
You know, you can have a bet on the weather for the royal wedding.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got it bad if you're lumping on that, aren't you?
I'd say so, really.
You imagine sitting there sweating that morning, everybody saying, oh, it's going to be a great day. It's cup final day, royal wedding, the sun's out, the barbecue out, and the bloke saying, it's got to start raining. Otherwise, that's it. I'll just flog the car. Got to start raining the next 2 hours. Otherwise, I've done me money. It's you don't want to be spending your day like that, do you, really?
No, not really. No.
You've got it bad if you do that.
I don't think it's right, really.
Anything else?
Yes, a lot of royal wedding stuff about apparently the... there's a new film about Harry, and it's going to be on American TV.
Oh, yeah.
Harry and Meghan, a royal romance, due to be aired on the Lifetime channel.
Ah, yeah, I was hoping you'd say
how
that.
Terrible that's going to be. American actress Parisa Fitzhenley plays Meghan, Scottish actor Murray Fraser as Harry. The press conference, the film's director said, "What I've heard is the palace are seriously worried about the sex scenes." I shouldn't think they give a damn about any of it, really.
They are looking at pictures of Parisa Fitzhenley.
Does she look anything like her?
Yeah, I think once the makeup's on, they can do a job there.
Really?
So, yeah, that's she will be transformed into Meghan Markle for them. You'll be watching, will you, Andy?
Oh, well, I'll try to, because obviously they've got the cup final, so, you know. And
Oh, yeah, you're going to... You'd be watching it on your phone, were you?
Well, no, because I think the cup final's at 12, and the
cup final's not. Yeah, the wedding.
Wedding's at 12, and the cup final's.
You get there early, don't you?
Yeah, when I went with my dad in 1964, we were the first people in the stadium.
The first people.
West Ham versus Preston. My dad was a stickler for being on time.
I mean, that's on time, and that's 4 hours early.
Well, you know, because in those days you could park outside the stadium, so you wanted to get there.
No yellow lines or anything?
No, nothing.
Just a few Ford Model T's.
Just a bloke walking in front of the car with a flag.
So basically, you could park on the running track, couldn't you?
You could park
so you could make
by.
An early getaway.
You could park in the stadium. You could park. I think we might have even parked in the car park. Oh, yeah, I can't remember exactly. But
that costs about £50 now on the match.
Oh, yeah.
Day.
I once lost my car at Wembley car park. That was bad. Coming out of the stadium,
lost it.
He had to get flagged down a policeman who sort of drove around on his bike looking for the car. I couldn't remember where I put it. It's mad, isn't it? Really.
This is why we do Don't Ask Me every week.
Anyway,
you
I do remember
1964.
Parked. First people in the ground. It was great.
Well, what about that? Great. Fantastic.
Great moment.
In the idea, the manpower the police had then to spend like an hour wasting their time on you riding around on a bike trying to find your lost car. Yeah, sadly, we don't have those numbers
those
anymore.
Were the days.
Met. Dear me.
I know.
What a waste of police time that was. Andy Jakes, send him the bill. That would have been outrage. Twitter outrage. Let's do it now. Let's have some Twitter outrage. Hashtag send him the bill. Get on the Cressida Dick.
Get him the sack.
Send him the receipt.
You've got to get me the sack.
Wasting that
That's
poor
the modern
copper.
Twitter thing.
He's probably sitting home now. He said, I remember that day. It was Andy Jakes, was it? He was probably in his 70s there. He's sitting there in his garden in his conservatory listening to this thing. I remember doing that an hour of my time. There was burglaries going on. All sorts.
That's right, yeah.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio, online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Gabriel Clark has made Bobby Robson more than a manager. Terry Butcher features in it, of course, played under Bobby for England and for Ipswich. And Terry, Gazza features, however, and you touch on their relationship. It's very interesting. I mean, obviously, Gazza is very moving the way he speaks about him and the way that he kind of clearly cared so much about him, Bobby Robson. When you kind of saw that, when Gazza first got in the squad and started to play ahead of Italia 90, could you kind of sense there was a bit of a bond between them?
Yeah, very much so. I think Bobby wanted to protect him. I think he wanted to take him under his wing and make sure that he fulfilled his potential. He knew exactly what he was going to do with him. He wasn't going to put him in straight away. He's just going to be careful with his progress into the national team, because I think he saw or foresaw the headlines and all that. So he wanted to be careful and protect this rare talent. And he did that very well. Before the tournament in 1990, we played Czechoslovakia at Wembley, won 4-2. Gazza scored a couple, I think, set one up or two up. And he was full of himself and all that sort of thing. But Bobby brought him right down to earth after the game. And he wasn't selected. He was selected for the World Cup, but he wasn't selected for the first game. And I think Gazza was champion at the bit. And then, of course, he came on again. Oh, he started against Holland.
Yeah.
And then played every game after that, apart from, obviously, the third and fourth place. But, you know, he was fiercely protective of him. And I think they both cared for each other. Not so much one cared for the other. They cared for each other because they're like kindred spirits in many respects, from the same area. Bobby obviously understood Gazza's background and vice versa. So there was a lot of mutual respect there. So that helped enormously, because Bobby let him do one or two things. You know, he liked to drink. He liked the little Baileys and his coffee when we got to the team hotel in Italy and things like this. And Bobby would turn a blind eye to one or two things. But there's no doubt he would have had a quiet word in his ear just to rein it in a little bit and just be careful. You're representing England.
He must have been good at building teams and building spirit, because I was saying to you just off air, the 1981 team, Alan often refers to it in the morning. I mean, you were a special group, weren't you? That team was an amazing team.
Yeah, but
Ipswich fans today, you know.
But he assembled that squad we had success in 81. But remember, that squad was in 78 when they beat Arsenal 40 years ago last Sunday. He dismantled the team. He changed the actual system for the final, the week of the final. Didn't really work on it, so went to 4-3-3, won the FA Cup, and then straight away dismantled the team. Brian Talbot was sold to Arsenal, brought in Arnold Muir and Franz Tyson, changed the whole concept of the club, philosophy, and it was built, Alan and Paul Mauner up front, Eric Gates just in behind. It was, that system was born, and we continued with that system all the way through till 82, when obviously it had to be disbanded, and Arnold left and the gaffer left, Bobby Robson left. But he built that up, and he was very good at constructing. You know, as a manager, you have to do that anyway. But he had the vision to see that's how we want to play, that's what we're going to do, and let's work and work and work on it. And we got better and better, and you know, should have won more trophies, but unfortunately didn't. But he could do that because he had the confidence after the cup won, after the cup win, to go and do that, and that made him then able to then have take the confidence then into the England job. And then ultimately to Barcelona, ultimately to PSV.
And I think also, that those tactical tweaks in Ipswich's success in Europe, that was when he was noted, not just by England, but by Barcelona, who tried to sign him a couple of times as manager before and during his time as England manager. So I think that sort of visionary aspect of his managerial style seen at that point.
Yeah, the one that did it was Saint-Étienne in the quarterfinals, because they hadn't been beaten at home for years. And Platini and Larios and all these people were playing for Saint-Étienne. It was Saint-Étienne going to walk the game when we won 4-1 in the first leg at their place. So it was just an amazing, and I think that really shook Europe. That shook the whole of football to say, wow, a team from the provinces has gone out there and smashed the French champions.
His great love was Newcastle, and that comes across in the film, where that link to his dad and the area is very noticeable. And when they finally do get their man, because John Hall, this revelation we won't say, but it's very interesting stuff about the first time they try and get him. But when they finally do get their man, it went brilliantly well at first. But it's very interesting with Alan Shearer talking about the way it started to go sour for him at Newcastle, and a few elements in the dressing room that didn't respect him. And it just struck me watching this, a few of those guys in that dressing room probably looking to make their own way in management around about now. And you think, how do you look back on that now? Do you look back on some of the things that went on in that dressing room, and would you like that to happen to you? And that was an elder statesman of British football. And Alan Shearer, he doesn't name names, but he's pretty scathing, isn't he?
He is pretty scathing. And certainly I don't think Robson was particularly forgiving of them. And certainly Sir John Hall, now listen, Sir John Hall lays a lot of the blame, essentially all of the blame, when he talks in the film at the door of those players. I mean, Bobby steadfastly said, no, I had control, but clearly there were differences of opinion on that. I think some of the guys you're referring to, a couple of them maybe have publicly gone on record since then, certainly when Bobby died, I think, about the regrets that they had about the way that they behaved at the time. And and look at Newcastle obviously have struggled to be anything like the Champions League team that they were since that time. And as Shearer says in the film, I think that decision was hasty.
Terry, I mean, people, I'm sure they do realise now, I mean, before sadly cancer finally took him, his first bout with it, you know, left sort of fairly deep physical and emotional scars. I mean, he had that plate, didn't he, which effectively sort of held his cheeks, held his face in place cancer.
That's the first bit of the film. The opening 5 minutes. Whoa, it hits you right between the eyes. You know, there's no messing about. You know, the guys have done a fantastic job on it, but it hits you, and you think, wow, you know, it's not about the football. It's not all about the football. It's about his personal life and about the horrible experience he had to go through with cancer. You know, and that, yeah, it's quite descriptive. And they're his own words. He's describing what happened as well. It's pretty mind-blowing, but it sort of sets the tone then for the rest of the film when you think, you know, he did all this, you know, not so much the Ipswich and England things, but after that, he did a lot of things abroad. Well, he really had no right to be there.
Essentially, it's 6 months later, nine months later, he's got the biggest club job in the world, Barcelona. After you know, being told you've got months to live, Bobby, if you don't overcome this cancer.
Wow! And both World Cups. I mean, we're going into a World Cup in the summer. I mean, we'd love to finish semi-final or even quarter-final like we did in 86, and we were unlucky in 86, of course, for obvious reasons. And, you know, that doesn't always get recognised. What a brilliant job he did for England.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Lineker refers to him as, without giving too much away, as the greatest English manager of all time. As I said, that's a controversial one. But, no, you're right, Andy. I think one of the key things that maybe you take from Robson's management style is the way in which he was able to unify a group of players. And that, I think, is the biggest challenge that Gareth Southgate is aware that he's got, having been a player at a tournament, one of England's most successful ones since Bobby Robson, 96. You've got to ensure that for 6-7 weeks, you've got to do what Terry and those guys did in 1990, be a unit. Sacrifice everything. Forget the distractions. Forget what transfer move you might be having. Forget the agent's call. Do what Argentina seemed to be so good at doing. Do what Italy seemed to be so well at doing. Germany, and do what that team in '90 were able to do under Bobby, which is sacrifice everything for the common cause. And I think Gareth Southgate knows that that's his biggest challenge.
How confident are you, Terry, going into this one from the squad?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm confident. Not watching England after the last two tournaments, but. It's the hope that kills you, I suppose. But no, I would say I've got expectations. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it and seeing what they do, because there'll be a few of the boys who are there in 2014 and a few of the boys in 2016, and it's not nice when you come back from a tournament when you've not been humiliated but pretty close. So there's a lot for them to prove as England players. But I think as Gabriel's right, really, it's the unity of the squad being together. We didn't have iPads, iPhones and all the other stuff that they've got now, and games rooms and all that sort of thing. We had Monopoly Board and Peter Beardsley. That's who we had. So that was enough. So
they should take that.
They should take Peter Beardsley along. Take him along. But the thing is, you had to be together. You sat together and you talked together. You may have played cards or a card school, things like this, but you were together and talking, which is fantastic. But now they seem to just go back to their rooms because they're in their rooms on their own. It's back to the isolation chamber sort of thing, and back you go, and you know, they don't mix. But Gareth is very much aware of that. He's a clever guy, and he's trying very hard to ensure that they're not bored, they are together, they understand each other, they've got each other's backs. And we used to go down to dinner and breakfast and everything else like that, and lunch. And we'd sit on the table, and you could sit with anybody, any member of the squad, any member of the staff. You could just sit with them and chat to them, and it would be fantastic. You didn't have to sit with your teammates, or you didn't have to sit with someone that you knew from squads of years ago. You can sit with a new cap. You can sit with an old cap. You can sit with anyone. And I think I don't know if they do that now. They probably do, but I thought that was really important as well. But it's that togetherness, because you've got to take that togetherness out on the pitch when it comes to the World Cup. First two games, yeah, I think Panama, Tunisia, they'll do that. And then it's Belgium. And then you can see then where we're going to finish in the group and possibly who we're going to play in the next round. But I think...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think it's a team that will get better the more the games are played.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
A Newcastle fan, Tom Houth, has been in touch with me via Twitter earlier on. And great memory from Tom, because he points out that the reason that Swansea are struggling has got nothing to do with Carver Howe and some of the changes he's made, or indeed Paul Clement before him. He said, it's not even the players. He said, it's the bloke who put a curse on the club. You may remember the call to drive last year. If you don't, this is the reason that this TalkSport listener put a curse on Swansea.
Last time we played West Ham, I think it was Boxing Day, right? Little true story this is. I was given an inflatable Jesus, right, by my daughter for Christmas. I took it to the match, the West Ham game. We were awful. I was waving this Jesus about, this inflatable Jesus. My daughter bought, you can buy them in Amazon. I took it to the game, what with it being a day after his birthday. One sitting far away from the chairman was waving this inflatable Jesus about. The steward came on to me, warned me against it. I was letting on. I wasn't doing it, you know, to the chairman. I wasn't saying anything or whatever. But I was warned a few times. As you can imagine, Boxing Day, I had a couple of sherbets. It was in the local paper and everything as well. Now, I put a curse on the Swans that day. You know, I've been in touch with Lee Dineen, one of the directors, since it happened, saying that if the club apologised to me, I would be willing to lift the curse. They haven't apologised. I haven't lifted the curse. We've hardly won at home since. So that's part of the reason we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, part of the reason.
Part of the reason, yeah.
And, of course, you all remember your own inflatable Jesus, the one on Depeche Mode song. We think that someone who had a certain amount of notoriety a couple of years back on telly, we think that might be Richard Griffiths from the call centre, you may recall, back on BBC Three. So we've been trying to track him down today. So if you know Griff, or indeed you are Griff, because he's obviously a TalkSport listener, we would love to hear from you today. And see how you're feeling about Swansea going down. Whether the curse ever did get lifted.
They haven't gone down yet.
Oh, well.
Oh, no.
Do you think?
Well, two things to remember. I remember Chelsea playing Wigan last day of the season. They wanted to make a big impression. It was Ancelotti's season. They wanted to score. They were going for records, like City. And they hammered Wigan 8-0. So it can happen.
Well, yeah, City, of course, versus Southampton.
If they weren't playing anyone else, I'd say, yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
But, you know.
If they're in the mood.
And also, Huddersfield may not get a point. I think they will, but they may not get a point. And then, therefore, you know, Swansea win, they could stay up.
Wow.
It's not done yet.
Well, okay, well, in that case, then, even better reason to lift the curse. 0871 722 3344. So we're asking after Griff, if you know him. And let's see if we can get him back. And he can tell us whether he's prepared to lift the curse.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio. Online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Hello, Richard.
That's Nick in Southampton. As he's pretending to be Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, of course. Oh, hey. Loud and clear, loud and clear. So, yeah, I mean, any regrets now on that curse?
Well, you know, I just regret that the club haven't been big enough to apologise, really, for, you know, what I thought was an outrageous sort of act against myself and Jesus.
Well,
have you lifted the curse, though? Go on, lift it anyway.
I mean, you're a Swansea fan, aren't you,
Richard?
Come
on, you don't want them to go down. They've got a chance. They've got a chance of staying up.
Well, to be honest with you, obviously, the Huddersfield game is out of my hands tonight. There's nothing I can do about that.
No.
Yeah.
Hopefully Huddersfield will lose tonight. That will then give the club, what day is it today? Wednesday, isn't it? That'll give the club sort of 2 days, 3 days to apologise. If they don't apologise, you know, before the weekend, obviously I'll have to speak to, you know, my spiritual advisors.
Yeah, of course.
With a view to sort of, you know, I'm prepared to, you know, they know that I'll lift the curse without the apology, but I'd like them to do it properly because, well, you know, it was Jesus's the day after his birthday. I was there in, you know, in good spirits, pardon the pun.
Literally,
That was actually Bob Bradley's last game. He was sacked after that game. It was the West Ham game.
So the curse did have some positive effect then.
Yes. Exactly, you know, we got Bradley out the door, which was necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't want our club to go down, you know. I've supported them for 45 years, you know, and
Well, but surely, I mean, I know, I can understand, I can understand why you're upset with the club as a fan, but surely, it, just for the good,
you need to
the
lift
good
it
of the fans
the
and the players,
game, because
you've got to lift it.
Yeah, you've got to do it this afternoon.
Don't you think?
Lift it.
Can't you find it? Does it need
find
a papal ball? We can put you through to the, we can get you through to Rome. We can get you onto the Pontiff. We know Paddy Agnew, he's the... He's the
Ricky Pontiff.
Ricky Pontiff. Yeah, he works with the Vatican all the time. A contact of ours. We might be able to get you through to the big man. And he's a big football fan, of course, isn't he? The Pope,
oh,
San Lorenzo
very,
supporter.
Yeah,
he'll understand why you're so upset. I think he'd want you to do it. I think the Pope would want you to do it, Richard.
Yeah. This goes deeper than organized religion. You know.
Okay.
This is.
I thought we might.
Yeah.
It's football. It's deeper than organized religion. It's football, isn't it?
Well, it's up to you, but you could be the reason they go down.
Yeah, I don't want you getting hate mail and people giving you a clog in the street in Swansea, or you go to a game in the Championship, they're saying this is down to you.
Well, I haven't been back to the ground since.
Oh, really?
I don't feel welcome there, you know, because they haven't apologised. I still presume they think I was doing something wrong. When I wasn't, you know, I was just sort of celebrating the fact that, you know, we were getting hammered at home to West Ham. I was just trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? I was just trying to
lift the mood,
exercise the demons that were in the club already, you know, with the Bradley situation and everything. But, you know, Hugh Jenkins, Lee Dineen, any of these Americans, they can do it privately if they want to call me privately and apologise. Mm. You know, initially I wanted a public apology. If they want to do it privately, that's fair enough, you know. But ultimately, they know at the end of the day that I'll lift the curse. We won't go down. You know, I can give you a guarantee of that.
Well, that's good to hear.
And just to let you into a little bit of a secret, Chelsea will win 3-0 tonight.
Right.
And we will win 2-0 on Sunday. And Arsenal will beat Huddersfield 4-2 on Sunday as well.
Only if you lift the curse this afternoon.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. Which you're going to have to. So if Hugh Jenkins is listening, or somebody at the club, Swansea, and maybe we can be the intermediary. They can kind of come through us, and we can channel it onto you. Let's see if we can make this happen. You're getting work though. I think Chris Laker is a Manchester United fan. He said, "I'll give Richard £50 for him to head down the Etihad and place a curse on them if he wants
that's
it."
That's a good idea.
And we should point out, Richard, you people may know you. We said earlier on from the call centre a few years back on BBC Three, your Griff, they will know you have, won't they?
Yes. That I'd forgotten about that programme, actually. I've been concentrating on my work on Downton Abbey since. But they may remember me from my earlier work, yeah.
People can find you on YouTube, though. You're still doing stuff on there, aren't you?
Yes, there's a few videos there. If they go to Griff's Lonely Dollar Lectures or Griff's Nighty Night, because I'm very much involved in the foot golf game now.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a keen player of foot golf down at the Swansea Foot Golf Centre on Oystermouth Road.
Nice.
They've still got their winter prices, so it's still only £6 for adults, £4 for children.
That's very reasonable.
Very reasonable, yeah.
Very reasonable, and considering it's practically the summer. Richard, we're going to have to leave
you
there.
Thank you.
Good luck. Let's hope Swansea can do it after you've lifted the curse. There we are, Richard Griffiths, the man that cursed Swansea. But he's done. He's dug his heels in, hasn't he?
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
So there we are, 7 minutes past one, and from the pavilion end, coming off his long run, it's Sarfraz Jacobs. I've had a better night than you.
Congratulations to Tottenham, and well done to them. And you get what you deserve in this league, and they deserve to be where they are, and Chelsea deserve to be where they are.
Before you do your thing, let's just something you touched on yesterday I thought was a good point, which was about the kickoff times. It did seem strange, considering there was a lot riding on it for both teams. They didn't kick off at the same time. Jan Vertonghen has subsequently said that when they went in at half-time and found Chelsea were losing, they found a little bit more energy.
Yeah, of course.
It was odd, wasn't it?
That no, it was wrong.
That it didn't kick off.
Odd. It
didn't
wrong.
Kick off at the
but,
same
you know,
time.
That's the way it goes. And you can't put it down to that. You can't put it. You know, we won't go into all the problems now because there's too many. We'll have a sort of, I think next week we'll go through all the teams. I think and look at what they need, what they did wrong, what they did right.
So, a proper autopsy.
Yeah, that's the time for this. But I've got a new game for you. It's called You Are the Manager. I've got Paul Trevelyan to illustrate.
That'll be good. We'll get Paul in.
Yeah. The opposition only need a draw to survive.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of goals in them. They're only going to sit back and defend for all they're worth. So do you A, pick your strongest team and try and get the first goal and change their game plan? Or do you B, leave out your best player, change the back three who've recorded a clean sheet against one of the highest scoring teams in Europe, Liverpool, change your winning system that won five in a row? What would you do?
Well, look, as a Tottenham fan, I'd go B. But I think common sense would tell you to go A, really.
What did I say? I sent you a text. This manager. I know what he's like. And I said to you,
springtime for Hitler, was it?
As soon as I saw the team, I went, well, he's obviously panicked. He's thought we might actually finish in the top four. And he doesn't want that to happen because he either would have to stay.
That's a great conspiracy theory.
Well, why else would you do that? Oh, but breaking news. Hang on a minute. Breaking news. Eden Hazard and Olivier Giroud will be fit for Sunday's meaningless clash against Newcastle.
Great.
They're fresh. Yeah. They're fresh for that one. The really important one. What a...
Well, that was close.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that was like being on the phone with him this morning. That was very close. I was on the dump button.
And
then.
Now you are the ref. You are the ref's appointer.
You are the
ref's
appointer.
You are Mike Riley. This is a new game.
Sounds like quite a dull comic strip. You are the ref's appointer.
You are Mike Riley. And you've got
You are Mike Riley, I quite like.
You've got a game where the most... virtually everything...
Well, the messages coming in, Andy. Messages virtually, of support.
Let me just turn
from Lee
on.
Mason
virtually
saying, watch what you say.
Everything... is on this game. It's about a £50 million game for either side.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake against Huddersfield, they're going to lose £50 million. If you make a mistake against Chelsea, they could miss out on Champions League, almost certainly will, £50 million. So you appoint a ref who basically isn't the best. Let's be kind. Isn't the best referee in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And what he does is he decides he's not going to give anything. Because if he gives a decision, it might... cause a problem.
One way or the other.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier to do nothing. And there were occasions last night for both teams where there was a foul and he wasn't going to give it. And the linesman flagging like mad, so he gives it. So you know.
Yeah.
And he's miles off the play. And miles off the play. I mean, that was just far too big a game for him to handle. I thought it was...
Who would you have given it to?
Well, Andre Mariner or Martin Atkinson. You know, one of the best ones. Couldn't, obviously, Michael Oliver had done the night before. But not John Moss and not him.
Okay.
It was wrong. You know, it was absolutely wrong. And I'm amazed. I mean, Sky do a great job on their coverage. But I can't understand this obsession with the reporters. I had this with Moose about asking Conte whether he's going to stay or not.
Yeah.
So instead of in the aftermatch interview, instead of asking Conte, why did you change the team? Why did you leave out your best player? All he said to him is, would this be your last game? You think, forget that. All he's going to say is, it's not up to me, it's up to the club. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, it's the same thing. They'll ask him all next week leading up to the cup final. What's the point? He's not going to say he's going to go. He's not going to say he's going to stay. He doesn't even know himself. So don't ask him that. Ask him questions about football. That might be a better idea.
It was, meanwhile, at Wembley, it was an incredibly nervy night. I don't know if you've been able to watch the highlights back, Andy, a little 10-minute. Have you watched the highlights?
Oh, yeah, I saw the highlights, yeah.
Newcastle had good chances. Shelby played
Spurs
very well.
Spurs were in a bad moment. Chelsea could have put pressure on them.
They just had to find a way of limping over the line.
If they'd won that game, it would have put pressure on them. And Leicester and Spurs have got a bit of history between them.
Yeah.
Leicester had coming off a good win last night.
Sure.
You know,
it would have been tough.
It would have been exciting. But, you know, now it's the worst last day in Premier League history. There's absolutely nothing on the day whatsoever. And, you know, it's all decided, you can say academically, you know, but the chances of, you know, Brighton...
When that fifth Man City goal goes in, after 70 minutes, we're thinking, hello.
I love the moment in the analysis.
Will Carvalho keep his job? Say that happens. Yeah. So Swansea were to win, get three goals up, and it was sort of seven. Swansea lost seven.
Swansea could play 10 games under Carvalho. They wouldn't score three goals.
They haven't scored in the last six games.
It's ridiculous. And then I love this one. In the analysis last night, I can't remember who Chris was. I think it was Chris William. I don't know who the analyst, but the Sky man said to him, Chris, what were you thinking when Morata was clean through? Well, probably the same as us. He's going to miss. Honestly. Talk about Corazon. I've worked on Corazon Guisante. You can look that up.
Is it clean?
P-Hart,
really? You think he's one of those, do you? Wizard of Oz situation, as Glenn would call it.
Really? I mean, really, really, really. When you want people to stand up and be counted, honestly.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
See, I've been thinking about this. Local teams. I'd love to see the Dunstable Daredevils play Kings 11 Putney.
Yeah. That's it. If we can make it, just that's a very good idea, you know, if you kind of just to make it, that's a nice idea. I think that would really work, Andy, if we can just, if We can change that. We can have a kind of more parochial take on the IPLs if it was played in this country.
Yeah.
In very small towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Why anyway, not? Let's let the listeners go to work on that. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. You can call him David Goffin if you like, but it'll completely ruin it for the purposes of this. David Goffin, we call him, the Belgian tennis player. And what a future he could have in TV if he just thought outside the box. He could have his own competitive man versus food style show, says Christoph, called Scoffin with Goffin.
That's good.
You can see that on the food.
The Shenley Super Kings.
See, there we are, the Shenley Super Kings. Goffin me cap, says Walter Cooper. An in-depth look at the world's hat makers. That's very BBC4.
That's
four.
A very good show.
BBC4. Okay. This is quite convoluted. It's Stuart. He says, what about this one? It's not the goff that carries you off. It's the goffin they carry you off in. A game
good.
Show where David and Darren compete to see who can carry a contestant the furthest.
Well thought out.
Yeah, beautifully, beautifully done. And Paul says, David dons a white lab coat with a professor and discusses physics in Goffin and the Boffin.
Goffin and
there
the
we
Boffin
are, this one for the
good.
Science Channel, if there is such a thing.
There's a programme on World Service tonight at the very odd time of 10:06 p.m.
Well, it sounds like the time a dog race would start.
It's called, exactly, Assignment China's World Cup Dreams. President Xi Jinping, no, that's not how you pronounce it, Xi Jinping of China, likes a spot of football. In 2011, he said he had three dreams. He wanted China to qualify for the World Cup. He wanted to host and win a World Cup.
Yeah.
So that's three, yeah. But can't you just find 11 players? You've got about a billion people.
If only it were that
just
easy.
11 players. That's
only it were that easy to find 11 players. What about the Rochester Royals, says Andy Nichols?
That'd be great.
Royal Challengers Bridlington.
It doesn't sound as glamorous.
Quite as exotic, does it, really?
Quite as exotic.
Maybe that's what the 100 should be. It should be that. It should be basically using the same name as all the IPL teams, but just with British towns.
Talksport.com,
text 81089, tweet TSH&J, and text to 81089, 087 1722 3344. This was a shocker, Andy. This was happened in... If you go and get married at Peckforton Castle in Cheshire... They offer you all sorts, and they offer you an owl to bring the rings in.
Oh, really?
A trained owl.
Blimey.
But this owl, he was supposed to come in, but he turned on the best man. I don't know what he made of maybe the way he looked at him.
I thought you were going to say this owl turned up about 45 minutes after the ceremony, our owl.
He'd been in the pub, yeah. Morning. No, but the owl attacked the best man.
Did he?
And they now say...
Did he know something?
It probably did, yeah. Giving him evils and looking at the bride, winking at her. An owl attacked the best man. Mm. And it says he's been axed from weddings. Makes him sound like
the best man or the owl?
No, the owl's been axed.
The owl's been axed.
Well, not literally. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? You know, protected species and all that. But, but the owls won't be doing any more weddings.
It's not helpful.
The producer
does private jokes in your ear.
Yeah.
He's not helpful.
It's
when you're
not,
trying
mate.
To broadcast.
He may just kind of rock up at other events. I don't know. We don't want him at christenings with his previous, the owl, do we, really? That's not a good idea.
He could be our new manager.
Didn't we had a,
at least he wouldn't have changed the team.
There was a bit of a shades of Brian Ricks at the bridge last night, Andy, when apparently...
Conte's trousers fall down
and
half-time.
David Wagner's did. They gave him the bumps, as they do with managers these days. Gave him the bumps, and his kecks fell down.
Hmm.
I bet you wish you'd been there to see that.
Well, I wish I had. Yeah. I didn't want to stay and congratulate Huddersfield on that. Marvellous.
Were they up your end? They were at the other end with their fans, so you didn't have to be...
They
wasn't
were,
right
yes,
in front of you,
yes,
was it?
You know. It's great, you know, obviously. I don't quite understand celebrating so much.
Well, it's a huge deal for them. No one gave them a prayer, did they, for goodness sake? So, you know, it was some achievement, don't you think?
Not really. I don't.
You don't think it was a great achievement for them to stay
so
up?
It's dreadful to watch. They're a terrible team. They really are.
Who would you have preferred to stay up, then, for entertainment value?
West Brom. I like West Brom.
Well, that's, you know.
I've always been a fan of West Brom.
Okay.
I'd like to have seen them stay.
You'd like to see them stay.
Yeah. Got friends who support West Brom.
But, you know, don't you think you've been a bit hard-hearted? You wouldn't be feeling like unless
they've been... fantastic...
You're coming across as a bit bitter, Andy.
I am bitter. But it's a fantastic achievement. There's no question about it. But you do sort of wonder about the style of play, the way they play. They haven't exactly lit up the league, have they, with their sort of exotic football. You know, they're not like
Bournemouth, who try and play in an open style and a promoted team that, you know, and I'm sure Wolves will play that way as well. You know, you just do sort of worry, well, you know, what are they going to do next year? They've stayed up, that's brilliant, but what are they going to do next year? They're going to do exactly the same, in my view. And so
they may train on. They may be.
It's unlikely, isn't it?
For tops. I don't know. I mean, you know, a bit more money, another year.
Yes, I can't see it myself. The manager likes that style. He likes, you know, they scored 12 away goals the whole season, you know. Yeah.
But that was needs must. If they, you know, you looked at teams once they've established themselves as Premier League sides, if they can do that, they may have a different style. They may develop.
As long as I don't
style.
Have to watch them, that's anyway. It'll be fine.
Fantastic. I mean, if you want to send the owner of the club a card. Obviously go at one of his shops and buy it first, because he's winning both ends, isn't he, really? The owner of the card, he owns, he's got a big, it's a card magnate, isn't he, Andy?
Is he?
Yeah, the owner of the club, that's right. And so go and buy a card from one of his shops and then send it to him.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're not going to be sending them a congratulations card.
Definitely
not. I did sense that, yeah. Kenilworth Knight Riders and the Sunrisers Harrogate. In the posh IPL, says David.
It's very posh, isn't it?
Royal Challengers Birkenhead. That's a good one. Graham in Liverpool. Sunrisers Halifax, Barry. And the Kirkhampton Knight Riders, says Shortley in Newham. This is a good league. I think I'd watch this. They were playing 100 ball cricket with these teams. And Royal Challengers Bognor, says Paul in Romford. Doesn't quite work.
It doesn't work, really. No.
Yes.
Did you know that if you pay for petrol at the pump,
you can
stop people getting fat, apparently. No, this is what they say. One of the country's leading obesity experts warned that shops were so tempting to buy chocolates and sweets that people who actually go in and pay for their petrol, you don't have to buy them, of course. You could actually exercise a bit of willpower. Yeah. But, you know, if you can't do that, it's better to pay.
It's a bit much that the idea that people have lacked so much, so they have so little self-control. You're basically, you know, wine gums and Mars bars are going to become like cigarettes. Yeah. You have to be locked in a cupboard. Yeah. So you go to the garage. Yeah, pump number three, please. And if you could just unlock Fort Knox there. You know, I wouldn't mind a packet of fruit pastels.
Nice.
You know, have a bit of self-control.
Health warning.
Really. You can pass sweets without eating them, for goodness sake.
I'm happy to offer a picture of my stomach as a health warning. Yeah,
that's right. We'll just do a close-up on every packet of, on every Mars bar packet of pastels, just a close-up of Andy's derby.
He said it looked like I was carrying a cannonball.
That's really. Like you've scored a hat-trick and you put the ball up your shirt. And he's permanently scoring hat-tricks at the moment.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
A good picture of Arsene Wenger this morning, coming out of the sea. And
like Ursula Andress and Dr. No.
More Daniel Craig. It says here, Arsene Wenger admits he's not quite Daniel Craig's 007 when donning a pair of trunks. And that's one of the reasons why he'll pick the turf over the surf when he exits Arsenal. That's not one of the reasons. This is because he likes football and not coming out of the sea.
You've got to give him a bit of poetic license there. I think, you know, you'd be a bit tough. But also, I always use that picture of him coming down a slide off the side of a when he was on holiday.
I know.
I mean, no one can do that elegantly, can they?
Well, he's having fun.
Even Daniel Craig couldn't look good when he basically came down a slide.
He wouldn't.
Off the side of a boat, would he?
And it's brilliant of the Coates family to blame Mark Hughes and his deals. And presumably they signed off on them, or did he write the checks?
I don't know. Obviously, they must have taken a certain amount of guidance from the manager. I went out and scattered them and made the signing. So, you know, he probably has to play. Take some of the blame.
And
would
you see, the Legoland have got the Lego royal family just in time for the wedding. And they've got Meghan Markle's parents. I'd say that they need a few more bricks for Meghan's dad. I think
start with Meghan's dad.
And the Queen, she needs a few less bricks because she's somehow taller than it. I know it's
she's like crouchy, is she, isn't it?
She's quite tall,
team group.
Let's
have a look.
Look at her. Look how tall she is.
Yeah,
taller than Prince Philip, which is quite odd.
Yeah, there's scales all over the shop, isn't it?
It's not right, isn't it?
That's right.
And did you know that Motti, who of course does his last game, we hope to speak to him later this week.
Yes, we can. Yeah, we'll try and track him down later in the week.
It's his last game this week, and there's going to be a tribute night to him and everything. Mm. But in the Times diary today, they reminded us that 1972 Olympics, John did canoeing.
Did he really?
I don't remember. It says, as a Brit floated passed upside down. He said, I don't want to be pessimistic, but British hope seems to be fading fast.
Wow, yeah.
That's a bit of understatement.
I don't remember him doing the canoe.
I don't remember him doing the canoe.
Because Barry would often turn his hand, he'd do a bit of ice.
He did the ice dancing
as well. He used to do a bit of that.
Yeah,
didn't
but he? Hockey was his favourite.
Hockey,
Who cares about the Germans and all that, wasn't it?
That was, Alan Weeks, a great old BBC commentator, was another one who would sort of multi, he'd go off and do a bit of Winter Olympics and a bit of football.
Triple Salco and a double Lutz.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Fantastic. Well, you obviously remember some of it, Andy, so he didn't do it in vain, clearly.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
So there we go. Yeah. The first of
You're still
the,
with us?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they didn't dip out. So that's the first of the weekly podcast. Over the coming weeks, we'll be giving you a bit of added value.
Oh, yes, we're going to bring back some of the great stuff that we used to do in the very early days of the show.
We're going to recycle, aren't we?
Well, it'll be a new version of it because we don't know what we said at the time. So
yeah.
I think we're going to be.
And
starting
I think
with...
quite a lot of the people that would have listened in those days are probably dead by now.
They probably
so,
are.
So yeah, I think it's probably good that maybe their kids and their grandchildren. Yeah, we've been here that long. Yeah. We'll get a chance to enjoy things like Keep Fit with Graham Williams and Gareth Chilcott.
Chilcott, I think we're going to start with. So that should be fun.
And so we'll bring you some of the bit of Fred Truman. So
John Arlott.
So some of the sporting greats, and we'll bring you those as well as the best of the week's output. So there we are.
And of course, during Wimbledon, we'll bring you Better Tennis with John Newcombe.
Better Tennis with John Newcombe, of course. Still the world champion of tennis all these days on. Anyway, that's all to come. But for now, we hope you enjoyed the first of the weekly podcasts. We'll be back with you next Thursday. And thanks for downloading us, as always.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio. Online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Are we going to ask Gareth Chilcott who his favourite Swansea player was?
Well, I think we could. Gareth Chilcott, of course, the memorable England rugby player.
Mm.
And, I think he's going to join us now to tell us who his favourite Swansea player is.
How are you?
Well, which one, though? Which one of the brothers is his favourite? Do we know? Does he say?
How are you?
No, he just says the surname. That's right. How are you? Yeah, kind of works.
It sort of works, yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.